Hello, you're listening to House Pets Radio, episode 10. I'm David Kramer.
I'm Slicer Doug.
I'm Nick.
And this is our special guest, Mr. Rick Griffin.
Hi.
resembling Nick already. Okay. Joel, are we going to do your questions first?
Yeah, that's right. Are you up for going straight into questions, Rick?
I'm fine with that.
All right.
Okay, cool. Right, so these are the ones that I wrote up. It focuses a bit on the comic creation side of things because I'm really interested in that. So, in fact, first of all, yeah, big lover of House Pets. May as well chuck that out there. Probably guests already, but yeah.
Yeah.
Love your work.
Thank you.
But yeah, so how long does it take from start to finish to get one comic done, usually?
It depends sometimes. Like, one of the spot comics takes an hour at most.
Yeah.
Like, even single or double, so. But I, since those are technically, like, cheating, I try not to. a regular comic can take anywhere between 3 and 6 hours.
That's already quicker than how I do them, and mine are such horrifically poor quality.
Well, during the Not All Dogs arc. That was like immediately after the tornadoes went through Alabama. I was on vacation at my brother's house in Kansas right after that. It seemed like several of the ones at the beginning of that took like 8 hours because that was the first ones for that. Those were heavy action scenes.
Do you do them in like single sittings then? Or little bits every now and again?
I try to do each comic in a single sitting. Yeah. I've done a couple in two sittings, but I haven't really, like, spread it out too much.
Because then you end up procrastinating. I've done that a lot. Of course, I can't draw, so
I procrastinate all the time. I could give you a list of the times I procrastinate, but I've got better things to do, so.
Yeah.
Right. How far ahead do you plan story arcs and the actual comics themselves? And if you do this, how many comics have you sketched out or written out ahead of where we are now?
Well, that's also completely different because it depends on what level of sketched out it is. For several of the story arcs, I have the general concept of maybe 8 or 9 right now. I don't usually script them out ahead of time until I'm approaching them. And then I usually have a rough outline, except for a few, which I actually script in advance.
Yeah.
The current one, I forgot what I called it.
A trip to the zoo, I think?
Christmas at the zoo, something like
that. All day at the zoo.
Yeah.
Okay, I have the outline for that. I was going to actually script this one out and have that finished like sometime by Monday or Tuesday, and that will run through probably the day after Christmas.
Yeah, I tend to be really bad at actually making comics, and when I tried to do a comic series, I started it, and a year later I had 250 comics written out and 18 that I'd actually drawn. So that was a year's worth of work.
Well, that was always a difficult part for me, is actually scripting out ahead of time, because it doesn't feel like I'm finishing anything when I just have a script done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually you get that spur of the moment golden nuggets.
Yeah, that's also why I try to finish a comic in one sitting, because then I have a comic done when I'm done.
Yeah. My problem with doing that is that I tend to get these kind of flashes of inspiration for projects that I'm not currently working on. So I have reams of notebooks full of like little jokes that I've thought of.
That always happens when I'm writing. So yeah, that
projects.
Yeah, this is why I try to do things in small bundles where I can have something at the end.
Yeah,
because I have most horrible time when I'm doing writing, especially for my prose stories, of while I'm in the middle of it, thinking up something that I need to do or really want to do for something completely different.
Yeah.
It's like pulling up the floor to put down new carpet. Oh, wait, let's put in a new fireplace first.
Yeah.
Or like doing stuff at your house, David.
Yeah, we pulled that air conditioner out and then got distracted by something on the iPad.
Got it out and on the floor and like, ooh, look at this!
We can Skype call. Not on this connection. Hey, Nick, let's go to your house where the internet's better.
And then we just left the air conditioner there.
Yeah, it's been... Oh, that was like Wednesday. No, Tuesday.
We're horrible at keeping on task, David.
I don't know how we do this podcast every couple of weeks.
Are there any characters who are different now to how they were originally intended to be?
So well, when you I first... saw that you wrote down about Fox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fox was a very weird character to start with because his original conception was pretty much as Bino's friend.
Yeah.
I might still have the notebook with that original thing in it. I might have given it away to an old friend. I don't even remember. Anyway, in that, basically, I just introduced Fox, which was a dog with pointy ears. And I said, hey, he needs to be friends with Bino. I like this dog already. And so he was introduced into the thing.
Yeah.
So that's basically where I started with him. I ended up starting to move him in a different direction soon after he was introduced. But you probably saw in the like first grouping of Bino's friends, Joey was in there too.
It was definitely someone because there were three of them, and then Rex comes up behind them when they're talking about the game. I think.
Oh, game. I remember when I first read that.
Yeah, it's Ollie's Joey.
Listening, you've lost.
Yeah, it was after. I started actually differentiating all those characters after that arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't actually decided that Fox would be the smart one. Like, I sort of had it in mind, but it didn't really come across in the arc.
He's come across as smart and sassy.
Yeah.
We tend to like the odd one out characters, like Joey, Fox, who's the other one? I forgot. King. I like King. King's my favorite. How do I forget that?
Did you honestly just forget King in front of me?
Oh yeah, there was that one that's everybody's favorite.
What's his name? Queen or something?
Pete changed, definitely. Oh. I had absolutely no plans for him when I first introduced him. He was actually sort of based off of one of my brother's characters for Tiger.
Oh.
The way that my brother drew him, he was a griffin-y thing, not actually a griffin. I just turned him into a griffin. And then I brought him in, not really knowing what to do with him, until I thought up of King.
Yeah.
The way he came across when I first was reading that part of the comic, he came across as the cruel old man that was doing the best for him, for King, and then keep reading on. No, he's just being selfish. He's just messing with King. He's being funny.
Yeah, he's just going to get pretty much worse as time goes on.
Aww.
Well, there you go. HBR spoilers.
That's not a very big spoiler.
No.
I might go into his past or something. I'm not actually very sure. I just know I have a very distant arc in mind where he's not going to act very good at all.
Oh dear.
I see.
I've got to ask this, and feel free, if the answer is yes, feel free not to tell us any specifics, but I just need to ask, is there a character currently who is the Kitsune's avatar?
No.
Oh,
that one's been driving us crazy.
I should probably explain this. I never really intended for him to have an avatar, but if he does need to appear on Earth in order to talk to one of the characters, then he's the sort of person who would probably appear as himself or something very much like himself.
Something like Al from Quantum Leap.
I am Al, just without all the cigars and womanizing.
We've been debating on whether or not Kevin is the Kitsune's avatar, and it's been driving us nuts for weeks.
It's just because of the eye color? No.
Yeah.
No, it's he has that kind of dumb but dumb on purpose attitude.
You know, the Kitsune is supposed to be a trickster figure.
Ah, okay.
I love trickster figures.
Well, you should read Nordic. That's the word. Nordic mythology.
I do. I love Nordic mythology. Yeah, that showed up, didn't it? Weren't expecting that. Shall we move on to the next question?
Nick, or Joel, do you have more?
Yeah, just two more, yeah. But I thought I'd save them till then. Rick, who is your favorite House Pets character?
That's very hard for me to ever say.
Yep.
I have, like, different likes for each one. Like, one of my favorite to write for is definitely Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has all the fun lines. My favorite to plot for is King. He has the most interesting story right now.
And that's why King's my favorite.
And my favorite personality-wise is probably Grape.
Huh.
Yes, yeah. I'd agree with that, too.
I can probably predict the easiest person to write for is Daisy.
Yeah. She doesn't appear a lot, and she only gets one line.
Just to throw people off, throw in to have her introduce someone else as Daisy, like a cousin.
Hi, we're Daisy.
We're the Daisies.
The problem with writing for Daisy is that it would be very hard to have a twist ending.
Oh, you don't know that. Maybe I should textualize the phrase, "Hi, I'm Daisy," somehow.
That's true.
Well, we can't wait.
But yeah, next one, which is probably going to be equally difficult, and also, in fact, it might even be impossible, but I'm going to ask anyway. Which is your favorite arc / comic within House Pets, obviously?
My favorite arc currently was Not All Dogs.
Oh, okay, cool.
That one came together pretty much the best out of any of that I've done.
Just one of those moments where all the pieces fit just right.
Yeah, especially since I wrote that out ahead of time. And I pretty much had to so that it would end on the end of year 3. But also because it was a very complicated situation, I needed to make sure I had it put together as concisely as possible.
And Joel, is that the end of your little list thing?
Yes, well, there's a very, very quick one. The character, Terrence, I think it's called Terrence, introduced in the Aztec Gold one.
Just before that one. He was introduced, but I think that was the second.
He appeared in the background at the end of Sinister Shadow. But I actually formally introduced him in Case of the Aztec Gold.
Yeah. There's been the theory going around that he's British and that his tag is a little version of the Union flag.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I believe this, but yeah. Is he
supposed to be British.
I've been saying this the whole time.
That is why when he talks to the forensics guy, he greets him with good night.
That was
because nobody in the U.S. does that.
The way he talks was my main argument. Oh, I'm so glad to be right.
Grumble.
I probably don't get all the Britishisms right because I haven't been to the U.K. or anything.
Yeah.
Most of my knowledge is from British comedies.
No, that's good. At least it's not. I mean, because there are people who base their knowledge off of American comedies, which always goes badly for me.
I had a bad experience with a British person, and I'm.
What,
I
what
hope
was their name? I'll probably know them. You know, we come from the same.
I don't know. I don't think you know everyone.
It's not that big of a country, David. Very well could.
I'll ask the Queen. She'll know.
One of the corgis do. Anyway, it was on my way up to Washington, and there's this British couple touring the U.S. on this train. It was a cross-country train, 2 days one way, 2 days back. And they just kept saying cheers over and over and over. And then it was so stereotypical. They had teeth that came out to their... It covered their bottom lip. And it was just, oh, stereotype.
I think they were messing with people on the train, David.
I was hoping. I'm really, really hoping. They're like, oh, thank you. Cheers, 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 cheers. You know, I'd like to dress up as that couple from Flushed Away that were touring the British sewers, the English sewers. Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Anyone else?
I've seen it.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about?
I think so. There was so much in that movie. I've only seen it once.
I watch it every chance I get when I get a little tinge of, oop, DreamWorks now.
I watch Shaun the Sheep all the time. It's the only thing I watch now, apparently.
Apparently.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
I adore my 64, my Commodore 64. I swim with it, write with it, feel my path of flight with it, my Commodore 64. I rate with it, create with it, telecommunicate with it, my Commodore 64. I adore my 64, my Commodore 64.
Visit CommodoreUSA.net. The only place where you can find the Commodore 64X, the computer with heart, modern technology in a timeless classic, and the new Commodore VIC Slim, the ultimate desktop space saver. That site again is CommodoreUSA.net, and yes, they ship to Europe.
I adore my 64, my Commodore 64.
And now, some music.
It's beginning to suck a lot at Walmart, more than usually so. Grouchy customers left and right, from morning all through the night. I wish that I could tell them where to go.
Hey, you can go straight to Notions.
It's beginning to suck a lot at Walmart, all throughout the store. I'm running so aimlessly from hardware to grocery, and my feet are sore.
And I'm wearing odor eaters.
Someone's buying a gun for his 8-year-old son so they can go hunting next week. And over in toys there's plenty of noise, and tempers are reaching a peak. And though our sales are through the roof, my paycheck's looking bleak. It's beginning to suck a lot at Walmart. I force a smile all day. I bet they don't have this fuss at Target or Toys R Us. My hair is prematurely turning gray.
And I'm still in college.
It's beginning to suck a lot at Walmart. Aching back and knees. And the last minute sales and deals will make Black Friday feel like it was a breeze.
Attention shoppers, we presently have a special on non-digital black and white TVs for only $14.75 in electronics. And over in housewares, we have one slice toaster, perfect for that college student, for only $132.49. And in our grocery department, a complete turducken kit without the birds for only $74.95. And of course in toys, we have the new single mom Barbie doll to prepare that little girl for life as a trailer trash mom for only $49.98.
I was nearly crushed in a massive rush that they poured into layaway. They all want a Wii or a PS3 that's been back ordered till May. And if I didn't need the money, I would quit today. It's beginning to suck a lot at Walmart. Soon I'm going to crack. But what makes my stomach churn is when customers return and they bring gifts back.
Did you have a receipt for this?
Yes, they bring gifts back.
Did you even buy this here?
And we're back.
Hello, we're with Rick Griffin. We are still doing the interview with him. Rick, you want to say hi? Just to assure everyone that you're still done.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see, loading. And we have an email question for you, and we didn't get a lot in the way of emails, like, at all. Oh, come on, stupid internet connection. Go. I think it's just trying to play with me, because the loading bar for Gmail is completely full. Nick, you go ahead and say it. You have it pulled up already.
Mr. Griffin, you once showed in your DA gallery of the old scraps of strips. That wasn't written.
No, Mr. Griffin, you once showed your DA gallery the old scraps. That does throw me off. Wow.
There was a comic in your DA gallery called Meet Bino, a comic you created in your childhood. If you still have them somewhere, will we ever get a chance to see them? Sincerely yours, Carlos.
And this is from Carlos on the House Pets forum.
Wait, that was on DA? I thought I posted that as a filler comic once.
We don't remember. We and Nick were talking about how that would be neat to see it as a filler.
Well, I did it once, but I usually take filler, at least in the past, I took filler comics down a few weeks after that was over. So it didn't fill up the archive.
Okay, well, I guess we did see them as a filler at one point. But you know, something that would be kind of neat to see them as more of a filler later on, because that's the origins of where everything came from, and it's just neat to see. Well, basically what I wanted to talk about is before you started Argo, what was the process behind everything, and... Yeah, let's just start there.
The process behind everything what?
I'm not quite sure. I just kind of had an outline. It's how did Argo start? Where did it come from?
Pretty much like anything. It starts when I see something that inspires me, and then I get a runaway idea. The idea came to me while I was in Kansas visiting my brother earlier this year. I don't exactly remember what it was I saw, but it definitely had to do with robots, and that's where it started. I've sort of wanted to do a story about robots for a while. Because one of my favorite science fiction motifs is the one where you're not sure whether what you're seeing is reality or not.
Okay.
That's part of it. Because that gets into the idea of identity, whether you are the sum of the chemical processes in your head, or if there is something more to it than that.
I see.
Like, how much of it can be replicated, and is it actually replicated? Would we actually be able to know if we could replicate it or make something its equal? Because the way that I've seen, like, artificial intelligence increase is that
Take your time. I mess up way more than anyone else on this show.
It's when the definition of what constitutes strong AI, which is AI that is equivalent to a human mind, the prerequisites keep going up every time that something bigger is made. Like, back when the Turing test was first made, the requirements were first met, like, sometime in the 90s. And then the requirements became stricter. It's like, well, if we're just going to keep adding it on, I don't really see any foreseeable way in the future that you can define something as being actually of actual human intelligence, because it actually requires that we trust that it's of human intelligence beforehand. Like the reason that we know humans are of human intelligence is because we're human and we assume other humans are the same.
Yeah.
But we don't like thinking that a machine, no matter how much it can mimic a human, is of the same intelligence. We have to keep adding criteria onto that definition.
Right.
And that was most of... And that was the process that went through most of the story.
Okay. And I actually haven't finished it yet, but both me and Nick have purchased Argo, and I bought it twice, once for Nook, and because I want to read books on my computer now. And then I get a Kindle for my birthday, and I need Argo, so I put it on there too.
If you bought it off of Smashwords, you get it in all formats.
Yeah, well, I thought about that, decided, I'd rather get it on Kindle.
Okay. Because
we like to massively support you with money.
Okay.
We plug the books constantly. We both own a copy of Book One. And I can't wait for Dungeoneers to come out. And I'm waiting for, I don't know what it's going to be about. I hope it's
Dungeoneers is going to take quite a bit longer than I anticipated. I wanted to get that done, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be getting done anytime soon. I will probably return to one of my older stories and finish up one of those before I would think about going back to Dungeoneers.
Well, let me just kind of assure you that whatever comes out by you, if I can scrounge up the money, I'm going to purchase it.
Yeah, that's why I try to keep them cheap.
And so believe me, I'm thankful.
On the note of that, could they be made available in England?
It's available on... Argo is available on Kindle in England.
I don't have a Kindle.
I think Smashwords is pretty much universal.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a regional lock on that.
Okay, cool.
It's like on Smashwords, when you buy it, you get it in all formats, you can read it online, and you get it in PDF form if you want.
Yeah.
So you can do whatever you like with it.
Yeah. Joel, if you create an account on Amazon and purchase ebooks, they have a cloud reader where they download it to your browser, and it's an offline application that you can just use in the browser. It's only available on Chrome, Firefox, and assorted ones like Safari and Silk, obviously.
Mm.
That's mobile.
I bought their Smashwords and have read it on the iPad.
I wanted to talk about Dungeoneers, what we could expect out of that, but now that you brought up... Oh, I'm going to finish my...
I can give you a very quick summary of what Dungeoneers is supposed to be.
Okay.
Dungeoneers is a parody fantasy novel wherein everything that happens in fantasy novels is so encoded into the world that everybody knows how the story is supposed to go.
Okay.
And this time the villain has a completely different plan, a very radical plan on how to win. That's the most that I could probably say without giving too much away.
All right. Well, when it comes out, I'm most likely going to purchase it because I have, we support house pets, because without house pets, we'd be out of a recreational activity.
Okay.
We have fun doing these shows. Back in the beginning, it was kind of a chore. I don't want to do HPR. But then Joel came in and saved HPR.
You're welcome.
Other projects that you wanted to possibly...
I have many other projects.
Okay.
So many other projects.
So he gets,
I still have my previous National Novel Writing Month attempts in a desperately need to be edited form.
Okay.
Those are. It was called Book of Changes. That was the first one I did. I've changed the title to The Inset Mirror, so that it actually reflects what is reflect mirror.
Yeah, I was going to point that out. I didn't want to interrupt you.
So it actually reflects what the thing in the book is.
Right. Okay.
Then there was one I did the year after that called Blasphemer's Prayer. It's a very adult story, which is the only thing that I've been very wary about making that my first published novel, because it is basically a horror story. It has a lot of adult themes in it.
Okay. Well, if you've seen most of the things on my...
It's actually my absolute most favorite manuscript that I've written so far. And that's also the problem.
Hey, I enjoy any type of literary thing.
To be honest, I don't think it's...
I like writing all sorts of things. My writing is, like, most definitely tends to be darker than anything that I put on House Pets.
I don't think it's much of a problem going from serious adult things to children-y things or PG-13 and below in this case.
I don't think it's a problem either.
Yeah. I mean, right at the moment, I'm planning... Most of my projects are very, very dark. I like very, very grim things. But I'm also trying to write a children's movie. So, yeah.
Well, my projects recently have become consistent of read all of the 23 books that I have downloaded for my Kindle. I'm going to be occupied for a while.
We just got a question.
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah,
just now. It's...
Well, this person is lucky. Let's read it.
Would you ask him what he thinks when he sees fan art or variations of it?
And then... I like fan art. It makes people successful.
Okay, now I'm going to go ahead and ask the question that is probably the other version of that question right there, probably the intent of that question. What do you think of the more adult-themed fan art that you see?
I sort of don't mind that it exists, because I know it's going to exist, whether I mind it or not.
Yeah.
But I definitely have a problem when people try to force it, into the forefront, because House Pets is not an adult thing.
Right.
And if people try to force that, it turns a lot of the readers off, and they get, like, especially since readers would get, like, if they start associating it with adult work, then it could, like, ruin the experience of the comic for them.
I see.
So that's definitely why I try to at least keep the site relatively clean.
The biggest... have you ever actually seen a piece of adult fan art that you just couldn't resist laughing at?
Yes, at least two or three.
I watch certain shows. Oh, look.
No!
All right, well, that's all the questions I have at the moment, I think, because I lost my list, and I'm sure there was more. How is your computer?
It's old right now.
I see. Okay.
I got this computer basically so I could start making House Pets, and I've had it since the beginning of that.
Nick and I have been joking about how if we get enough money together, we'll just send you a laptop.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. And if we actually have a give a Rick a computer. What? Oh, see, that's how I mess up. Why? All right. I'm gonna stop doing that. we've talked about setting up on at what would be our future website at the time.
It's a current website now.
Well, it's our website now, but when we were talking about it before, it wasn't. We didn't have a website. We had Podbean and two episodes.
Podbean, two episodes, and Podbean barking at us about going over bandwidth.
Yeah, we were talking about how we would put a donate button that would say, give Rick a computer fund. Just everyone donating like 10 cents at a time would be fantastic. And you know what? I actually want to do that now.
Especially since our bandwidth and storage problems are completely solved by the Internet Archive.
Yes, yes it is.
There,
hear that, Internet? You can download us anytime.
Well, if we don't have any more questions, I suppose, Rick, do you have anything that you would like to ask us or the House Pets fans via saying it on this podcast?
I haven't actually considered that, no.
Usually when you interview someone, you're the one asking the questions, but we like to throw it up. Mess it up. You know the words I'm saying. Yeah. What's the word? Mix it up a little. There we go.
We love to throw the confusion puppy a bone.
I don't know if you saw this. I have the House Pets books are on sale for Christmas now.
We did see that.
Okay.
We saw that like 15 minutes before we started this.
Yeah. I am seriously considering buying one if I can save up the money, if I can have it virtualized in time to keep with the sale.
Okay.
And we've been talking about sending Joel a package of Welcome to HPR. It would contain the books. We're big fans of just giving you money.
Yeah. Something else. I'm thinking about revamping the merchandise page using a new storefront that can actually have everything in it at the same time.
Well, hey, if we ever put up a store, we'll sell it. We'll sell your merchandise.
That might be more complicated to set up than you would think, David. Okay. I'm thinking of this through the programmer's mind, and I'm like, that's going to be hard. Very hard. Right. Very time-consuming.
There's one question that's kind of been hovering since the beginning of the podcast is, what do you think of HPR?
Do you really want to know?
I do want to know.
Well, I only listened to one episode, and I thought it was filled with a lot of empty space.
Yeah, which episode was it?
Episode 4?
Oh, that was way before everything got set up right.
Yeah, I figured it would be like that. I also am not quite sure why House Pets needs a radio show still.
I don't know either. We've always been talking about stuff. When we talk about stuff like House Pets radio show comes up, and we're thinking, hey, if we can afford like the $3 to open up an internet radio station, we could run radio plays.
Yeah, we could like House Pets the podcast. House Pets radio isn't just the podcast. It was created with the idea of
to culminate the two ideas.
Yeah, to like have the radio show and like community based audio things to be all underneath that name, but all keep their individuality too. Something like
boom, House Pets radio show.
Oh, there it is.
Yep.
Probably throw a link to them into the post show notes because we mentioned them.
Yeah. Hopefully the first episode of that, which will be the first comic arc, should be coming out soon. I think it's already all been recorded, but Xander, who is running the project, is a little non-existent at the moment, so don't know where he is.
Another thing, our first collaboration sort of thing to come underneath the House Pets Radio name will be Joel's project.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, I need to get that finished. I haven't had time. Yep.
I'm sorry we kind of attacked you with voices there, Rick.
Would you like to tell Rick about...
Sure. Because I'm practicing to be a voice actor, I decided to offer voicing different fanfics of House Pets. And it was going fine until I ran out of time. Let me try and see if I've got any of the recordings here. Audio project, House Pets.
We're glad that we finally know what you think of HPR, and we're not looking for
validation. Useful input.
Yeah, we're looking for useful input always.
Yeah,
if you have anything, be honest with us. We won't take it as I hate HPR.
you probably should be a little less self-conscious about messing up while you're talking.
Oh, I'm constantly making myself sound dumb. If I actually take the time to think out my sentences, it will take 3 minutes to think.
Well, I like that too. But I don't think there's any problem with cutting out empty air.
Oh, yeah. We've gotten much better at that because now...
Oh, yeah. And by we, he means Nick.
Yeah, the editing program that I'm using now will actually let me zoom in to the 20 seconds, 20 seconds fill up a whole screen, so I can see what's dead air.
Okay.
Yeah. It's...
The last two episodes have been really not airy.
It's like back when they were putting out broken Linux, we were putting out broken HPR. And we've fixed it quite a bit. Now that Joel's with us, we have a lot more fun doing the show, just nerding out. Unfortunately, we have a big tendency to go off topic constantly.
And one of us will eventually pull the other two back into the topic.
By one of us, he means him. Because me and Joel just keep going. We went off on a tangent in one of the lost episodes about friends. We basically just have these very friendly, casual conversations. That's what HPR was meant to be, is just people talking about what they thought of HPR, not HPR, House Pets, and just different things, their opinions, and, people would like to listen to that. Let's put it out. And then it became broken, and it needed stuff to make it go. And we found Joel. Joel made it go.
Well, okay. Somebody find the Enterprise. Mr. Forge, replace their rubber band.
There's also something else. I'm not really sure why you guys have a music break.
Yeah, me neither, actually.
The style of podcasting that we use was almost entirely taken from Notcast.
The music break is there for, hopefully, somebody who makes music in the community will be like, hey, can you play my music? It'll be sure. And that way we can get the community involved more. It's just they're not doing it.
Yeah, we've got a total of how many emails?
We've gotten like 6 emails from people asking something or saying something about HPR. And then we've gotten an email from one person saying, hey, can you play my music? I'm like, okay.
We're really kind of bombing, but not at the same time, because we're getting many, many loads of downloads, but no one's sending stuff in. Oh, I just want to listen to your podcast. I don't want to send stuff in. I don't want to be part of it.
Yeah, you find that a lot. I mean, I'm on a forum, and I do a podcast for that forum, and people always say, oh, yeah, I really like it. It's a nice touch, but very few people actually try to contribute, so it's just the way of the internet.
If nobody, the music thing is on the
kind of dying out at the moment.
Is on the serious consideration for being cut. If nobody, you know, says anything, you know, has any requests or tries, you know, says, hey, you can use my music, or I would like you to use my music. It's,
well, in my opinion, you didn't really need the space there. It's like, I don't really anticipate, like, the House Pets music community to, like, boom or anything.
Yeah.
But, so, I would say that you don't actually need the space there. But if somebody came up with something, you could make the space. It's like, that doesn't, it doesn't really matter if you have it reserved.
Okay.
What we're going to do is we're going to keep it until January. The first episode in January, it's going to be cut if it does, if we have no more progress on it. We've given it too much time.
The way I view the music break is people who need a break from me talking.
But if can they need that, they can pause it.
Yeah.
Good point. That's a good point.
The only reason it's staying until January is I have two parody Christmas songs that the artist gave me permission to use that I want to use.
Okay. Oh, speaking of music, if you, I can give a slight spoiler for a future thing.
Well, go on.
I have an arc in mind for Fiddler and Keys.
Ooh.
And the entire thing is going to be done in poetry.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. There you go. HBR exclusive. That's not done yet. Turned it off.
Speaking of, which way around is it? Which is male, which is female?
Oh. I completely forgot now.
Wow.
The fact is, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah, but that's another story.
If it matters at some point in the future, you'll know then.
The dryer got turned back on, just so everyone knows what that sound is. Hopefully, we can cut that out, because I'm pretty sure we're done with the podcast by now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of hanging out, that's pretty much all it is.
Well, shall we get a an end of thing that we can, you know, a nice little conclusion speech?
Well, this has been HPR episode 10. We want to very quickly thank Rick Griffin immensely for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Do you want to throw in a quick plug before we take it into the ending?
Plug for what? This entire radio show is a plug for me.
Yeah.
And remember to read House Pets.
Yes. Do eat.
www.housepetscomic.com.
And
if anyone listening to this isn't reading it, you're a fool.
Yes. Why are you listening to this? If you're not reading House Pets, you'll be completely lost.
Yes, absolutely.
If you're not reading House Pets, why are you listening to us?
Turn on when owners go away, keep the dog company. Deliciously ironic. House Pets Radio. Literally.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Radio for a house pet. That's it for HPR, and as always, remember, we ship Grape Nut.
And the mod book.
And the mod book.